WGN Radio. I am Raleigh James. I am live. It is Tuesday. It is September 30th. Yeah, and don't even ask. You don't want to know. But we're here. We're here together. All my fault. I think I dialed in on the wrong remote line, and nobody heard me, and I didn't hear them. And anyway, we're together again with plenty of things to talk about, actually, and your request to play. But hanging on like a trooper there. Yes, it says called back. What, from last night? I think Ruth might have been on hold when we went off the air. So Ruth and Gurney, welcome back to WGN Radio.
You're there. I'm here. I held down all night.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Raleigh. Yeah.
All night long. I waited for their call.
Yep.
Now,
By the way, I pay for these calls by the minute, so I hope to hell you didn't.
All right. Okay. Well, you got all that money. All right. But anyway, last week that had happened also on a Thursday, and I said to myself, well, I don't mind because I just had something frivolous to say anyway. So I figured, no big deal, you know, that I didn't get through. But then I got to thinking to myself, I said, I have been calling last week and the week before every day, every show night for you. I called every single time. And sometimes I got through and sometimes I didn't. And then I got to thinking to myself, I'm getting addicted.
Oh, no.
And I must think that I'm so important, and I had something so important to say, and I was calling every day of the week when you were there, and then I said to myself, yep, I'm so important. Now, if you believe that, then maybe I can sell you property, lakeside property in Globe, Arizona.
Yeah, well, it's it certainly is lakeside right now.
But the old saying is,
yes,
that, you know, there's no such thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, I do have, if I get a word in edgewise, I'll do just a little bit about Herbertus, but not your trivia question for me. I'll save that for another time. But for 2 years, I've wanted to make a comment about something that had happened, and also a comment about back in June, and I've waited for weeks and months to make a comment about this. I got put on hold. It was an hour and a half. And so the next day...
Well, you're here now. You're here now, so let's hear it.
Let me do this. So the next day... because my phone ran out of energy, the battery wasn't going through, and I thought I had plenty, but it went waited an hour and a half. So the next day, I ordered a 6-foot inflatable star for a parade in Fox Lake, and I wanted to use it in the Gurney Days and also Waukegan Labor Day Parade. So I called and put in the order on a Friday in the afternoon, late in the afternoon, and just as I had everything down pat, ordered the credit card, my phone disconnected. I called Saturday morning, and they were out of stock.
Oh.
All because I waited an hour and a half and lost that energy that I thought I had it charged, and I was covered, you know, covering my back. 6-foot inflatable. It said Happy 4th of July on it, but I would have been able to cover it with bunting, so it could be used in the August Gurney Days and Waukegan's Labor Day Parade.
Mm.
But anyway, here's the other thing. I had not mentioned this. I have a grandson who hit a semi-truck 2 years ago.
Oh, no.
I just got a lump in my throat. So what happened is he was driving, and he had used to come and get me into the wheelchair, and then his brother would do it too, but he went into the military. Mm. Another grandson too, and he went into the military. So Alex from Kenosha, Wisconsin, was driving, and someone drove up alongside of him and wanted to do drag racing. And he did that. He went and did the drag racing, and then he was stopped by enforcement, and he took off, and they pursued him, and he hit the semi-truck.
Oh, God.
So he was in the hospital. He went to court. He got citations for eluding, and, you know, and lost his job, lost his home, two little kids, which, by the way, last Christmas and a Christmas before, I had presents for the two kids, great-grandsons, and I contacted St. Mary's in Kenosha. I couldn't get them to help.
Okay, well, let's not digress. Let's stay with your story so we can follow along. Okay, so he's in the hospital.
Okay, so anyway, the reason why I think is something indirectly responsible, and it's something off the wall, but I'm going to say that his mom, some years back, dressed him in a baby New Year costume. Jenny McDermott Lundgren of Pleasant Prairie.
I'm going to have you get to the point quickly, because already I'm starting to lose the train of thought here.
I understand, because it's so off of the wall. But maybe Tyler should dress in the baby New Year's costume. And therefore, Alex was acting very strange and out of character. And this goes back some time. But anyway, it's been 2 years. You can imagine, though, how much it meant for me to know that I haven't seen him since, even though he'd gotten out of jail and he couldn't no longer drive out of the state of Wisconsin. I haven't seen him for that long. And so that was a story that I did not want to do. And time has passed away, which means it no longer has any metastasizing or credibility.
He's out of jail.
Yep. And
I don't know
how he's doing. Okay. No. Now, my brother channels like the Indians do with mediums.
Oh, God.
Spirits, and he said recently that he was in some kind of serious trouble. Well, I decided to use prayer as much as I could to avert any complications with the situation as far as it has gone from the worst to whatever. And it's interesting, though, because you have so many callers who call with the things that are going on. And Nick in Sauk Village, he should consult the city attorney. Since this involves an eviction, and if there's a county board attorney or a senior citizen center attorney, he should get that legal advice through them. To get through some,
I understand. But if we continue to have other topics, I will completely combust. I just know it. One topic at a time. And so, all right,
I wanted to get that in.
All right.
So your callers, they're going to pull their hair out of their heads when they can't call you for the next 3 weeks.
Oh, I think they're going to be fine.
I don't know.
So are you.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Well,
I'm convinced.
I will.
All right. Good deal, Ruth. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. Yeah, absolutely. Ruth is good, but she'll certainly weave 11 stories together, and halfway through it, I'm just orbiting the planet. So there you have it. 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. I'll play your request, too. Now, one thing that I actually, at the beginning of the show, I was going to talk to you about how much sleep we need. Because it's very interesting in terms of what you need and what you don't and all that kind of stuff. But other than that, I'd love to hear what's on your mind coming up on WGN Radio.
I'm going to buy a paper doll that I can call my own. The doll that ever fails that I steal. And then the flirty, flirty guys with their flirty, flirty eyes. We'll have to flirt with dollies that are real.
Pretty, pretty, pretty.
When I come home at night, she will be waiting. She'll be the truest doll in all the world. I'd rather have a paper doll to call my own than have a fickle minded real live girl. I guess I have a million dollars or more. I guess I played the doll game over and over. You know, I just quarreled with Sue, and that's why I'm blue. She
she's gone away and left me just like all dolls do.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and Dave had wanted me to play that for his girlfriend Betty last week, and I thought I did, but I didn't see it on the list, so I thought, well, we'll play it again. That was on the Dean Martin Show in October 1967, and actually the song, of course, and who he's with, if you're wondering, is the Mills Brothers, who did it originally in 1942 on Decca. But yeah, Don Mills was the ballad guy, and Harry was doing the up-tempo part, and Dean was in the middle. All right, so in case I didn't play it, well, now I have. And if I did play it, well, I played it again. And the rest of your requests are coming up to this hour. Well, not this hour, but tonight, hopefully, and tomorrow night we'll get to as many of them as possible. And, of course, if it's on your mind, we'll, of course, get to that. So, as I was saying, yeah, interesting article on sleep. And why this this came to mind is several months ago, I decided to buy an Oura ring. Do you have one of these? O-U-R-A. And it's supposed to, you wear it on your index finger, and it's supposed to record all these facts about you, including the quality of your sleep. And it's supposed to tell you your circadian rhythms, which was interesting because I know what my circadian rhythms are. I want a 30-hour day. There's no doubt about that. However, nonetheless, I used this after a month and decided that my best bedtime was between 3 and 4 in the morning. They're right about that, actually. I was surprised. So I kind of thought, well, maybe there's something to this. And I continued to wear the ring and discovered that I don't deep sleep. Almost never. A minute here and there. Get quite a bit of REM sleep on some nights and not at all on others. And then there are others when I could swear I was sleeping, but it says I wasn't. You know, so there you have it. Now, why this is interesting to me is that doing this, I convinced John he had to do this too. And so he'd been doing this as well. We've been doing this now for a few months, and our sleep, well, the scores are terrible. And on top of that, we realized our sleep is no longer good. And so about 2 days ago, took off the rings and got two nights of good sleep. So I'm not blaming Oura yet, but something tells me maybe that Bluetooth connection is not quite as benign as it might be thought. But so while I was looking at sleep, because when I noticed I wasn't getting any deep sleep and also noticed that the REM was very erratic, I thought, well, maybe I better look. And the reality is that the average American does not get enough sleep, that you need at least 7 hours in terms of in general. And what's really interesting is kind of what the ring was trying to tell me is that people are getting less sleep than we realize as far as that goes. And some people, of course, are in need of more. And so as far as that goes, the first thing is the circadian rhythms. And this is so true. Because if you are a late night type, extreme late night type, yeah, the Oura ring told me I'm within 2% or whatever of the population. Yeah, well, no shock there. But if you are and you try to play against type, you know, like getting up for an 8 a.m. job or something, you're not going to make it. And, you know, it's only recent, the last, you know, several decades, that people have even talked about this on any level. Before that, they were just considered lazy. And what's really interesting is schools, especially high schools, that, you know, the bus is picking the kids up at 6:30 in the morning or whatever. What they're finding out increasingly is that teenagers have a later circadian rhythm in general. And so consequently, by getting up that early to go to school every day, they're working against type. And there's enough research on this that you've had several school systems that have looked at it. To my knowledge, no one's actually changed the hours yet, though it's becoming something that's on the table. So in terms of that, if you're perennially tired, maybe you are sleeping against type. Now, if you're a lark, you kind of got it made in the shade as far as the business world is concerned, because, of course, you like to get up early and you can be the first one into work and you're bright and chipper and all that. Then, of course, much after 8 o'clock at night, you're a dullard, to say the least, because you're going to bed early. But the larks of the world do fairly well, if not very well, in the business world because of that. And while the owls, those who have a later biological clock, don't. And up two, like I say, recent times, they were just considered to be lazy, when in fact it wasn't that. It was that genetically they're on a different biological clock. So that might be something to be aware of as far as that goes. Now, I mentioned the rings, I think, are driving me crazy. But sure enough, some research is showing that smartphones alter your sleep patterns. So maybe we'll talk about that or whatever else is on your mind, and more of your requests coming up right here after the news on WGN Radio.
When she lifts a rhythm, start to play. Dance with me, make me sway. Like a lazy ocean, hugs the shore. Hold me close, sway me more. Like a flower bending in the breeze. Bend with me, sway with me.
Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Bobby Rydell, Sway, 1960, and Dave also wanted that for Betty. That actually, much like when he redid Volare, was something that had not been English originally. It goes back to 1953. It was Quien Será, and a number of people did it. You know, Caterina Valente, and not originally, but Trio Los Panchos. You know, you name it, they all kind of did it. Then Norman Gimbel wrote some some English lyrics to it, and sure enough, next thing you know, it's called Sway. And why not, right? And so that was the version by Bobby Rydell, but not the first. Perez Prado did it as Sway, and Les Baxter in the mid-50s did it as Sway, and Lawrence Welk did it as Quien Será, but we're not going to be playing that, to say the least. But yeah, 1960, that was Bobby Rydell. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888-ROLLYE. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure that it is on mine. And I'll get to Eduardo here in a moment in Tampa. But as far as smartphones altering your sleep pattern, my first thought when I saw that as a subject header was, well, yeah, I'm convinced that radiation will do something. Well, they're not actually talking about it, much like laptops or whatever else, your TV. The bottom line is that blue lights are not the best for bedtime rituals, to say the least, because blue light is normally prevalent in the morning, which can keep your brain from producing enough melatonin. And so if you are a late night TV watcher or phone user or tablet or laptop, you might want to get some blue light blocking glasses and see how you do with that. Now, that said, I'm firmly convinced that the radiation's a factor. And why do I say that is, you know, I was an early adopter of mobile phones back before they were called cell phones, you know, phones in a bag, things like that. Yeah, I'd lug them around, and, you know, they were heavy and they were big, and you had to be in the right place to use them at all. And then, I don't know, about 30 years ago now, they started mass producing them. And of course, I remember driving from Philadelphia to Alaska, and other than some places where there was just no cell service, I was on the phone the whole time. Phone up to my ear, you know, a big, big flip phone. You know, you probably remember them from the 90s, and never a problem. Now, why I say that is somewhere along the way, and the nearest I can pinpoint it is probably LTE in terms of, versions and all that, when suddenly I can't use them. and it drives me crazy because if I have one of these anywhere near my head, even using the speakerphone, because I tend to hold that, you know, less than a foot away from my head in general, I get this weird headache, and it's kind of an eerie headache, and then I get double vision. And it will last for, you know, hours. And I've talked to other people about this and talked to doctors about it. And they all say, well, you know, some people are sensitive. No one can pinpoint what this is that I found. You know, I guess I'm the canary in the coal mine. It doesn't bother most people. But it sure does me. It completely shut down the ability for me to use the darn things because it happens without fail. And I'd love to know what it is. Because, again, the old technology, no problem. So what is it, you know, and LTE and all the fake, fives. I say that because, of course, you know, everybody's saying, oh, well, you know, now I got five. Yeah, well, there's three versions of that. Two out of the three are not good. And that's what in most places you're getting like an N600 or L600 if you're into that stuff. But anyway, does it? Absolutely does it. So I don't know. All right, 888-876-5593. Before I need to do anything else, I got a first-time caller, and we stop what we're doing for those every time. So it looks, I'll probably slaughter this, but Zura, probably pronounced that wrong. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, yeah, my name is actually Zura. Sorry. Okay. Everybody confuses it. I actually have a request for a song.
Okay, what do you want to hear?
When You Believe by Whitney Houston and Mariah Carey.
Okay. Well, since you're a first-time caller, I will play that. Let me, When You Believe. Not the thing I'd normally play, but for you, hey, I'll do it. Sure. All right. Good deal. I'm delighted you called, and I'm glad you're listening, and I hope you're going to do it again.
Thank you. I love your show because, like, with the song, my mom, when she was young, she woke up, and she told this radio guy, she called in the middle of the night. She called him, and she asked for this song, and he didn't play it. I'm like, oh, my God. I would walk down there and slap that guy.
Well, you know, most of the time they don't play your requests. Even stations that claim they're playing requests usually don't. So, but I'll find this. I will absolutely find it and play it for you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Bye.
All right. So it's like Art LeBeau always did the requests and dedication. It was so funny because all the dedications, he'd almost never play the song they were dedicating, but he'd mention their names, you know. And I also thought that was funny. Yes. Wants to hear Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow? And meanwhile, is playing something completely else. All right. So we'll get to Eduardo in Tampa. If I will do that right now. Eduardo, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. So before I get into a couple of stories here, so what's the story on the vacation that's coming up?
Yeah, we'll be gone for 3 weeks, but we'll be back after that.
So after Thursday, that's your last show?
Yeah, that's the last one until Monday, the 27th of October.
Okay.
Assuming I live. No, I will. I'm sure I will. So anyway.
If you come back, yeah.
Yeah, no, I firmly expect to come back because there's far too much left undone. You know, it's always when you know you're going away, you have a list of things you have to do. And, you know, I'd like to go to the Time store and buy a couple days because I need them right about now. So there's a number of things that have left undone. Of course, I'm leaving Globe in the midst of the worst disaster they've ever had. And, you know, town is underwater and everything's a disaster and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, right. So on top of that, you know, I've got multiple generators in multiple places. I mentioned the AC on the generator for that on one location failed and it got to 175 degrees. Well, now another one has failed in a different way. Apparently, during some of the wonderful power bursts we got during this, I blew out some fuses in a transfer switch of a generator to one of the computers. And that means it will not turn on by itself or turn off by itself. And since we no longer have a good supply of propane, since the propane dealer floated away, I said, just turn that generator off. And if the power goes off, so does that radio station. I'll worry about this later. So, yeah, it's like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, we're really going to be missing you, but, you know, at least we know you're coming back. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, assuming I'm still walking the earth, I am. Yes. So, wouldn't have it any other way.
So, this Sunday, the Bucks were playing the Eagles, and I was the first half I was doing ticketing like before. And there were a couple instances where the family went through, attempted to go through, thinking that the babies were free, and they were not.
So like infants?
Yeah.
They were charging for infants?
Everybody.
So in other words, you're holding this infant in your arms because clearly the infant can't sit in a chair. And you still pay for
it. I mean, I had to get the super,
Still pay. Who the heck came up with that plan?
Yeah, well, that's the Bucks. But yeah, I did have the supervisors nearby, and they had to, you know, talk, you know, to be prevented before, you know, there was a big argument.
Well, so what happened? The people left or what?
No, we just directed them to, in both cases, to the ticket center right there in the middle of the stadium.
Well, you directed them there. They were willing to buy a ticket?
Yeah, and they came back and they came through.
I wouldn't have. I'd have said that's the last time I ever go to one of these games. I am done. You know, the prices are outrageous anyway. You know, that's one of my pet peeves about professional sports is that used to be you could take the family to the ball game, you know, baseball especially. You can't afford to do that anymore. They build bigger and better stadiums, all designed to have big corporate boxes. That's their big thing. Let's have tons of corporate boxes. But, you know, this was the all-American pastime. Dad should be able to take mom and two kids and not have to get a loan. And it's crazy time what it is. And that's why I like minor league ball so well, because, you know, the players are approachable. Even the concession fans are affordable. The ticket prices are minimal. And so now, I mean, you look at these prices and now you're saying an infant has to pay. I can't imagine why these people went and did it. I don't know. I don't respect it.
The vendors, you know, the foods and all that you got to get.
Say, you're at the ballpark, you got to get an estimate on a hot dog. So, I know. But it's just wrong. It takes it away from, and I'm not begrudging anybody making money. That's fine.
Yeah.
But I don't think you do it to the point that you've taken the sport and made seeing it in person only for the elite. You know, there's got to be a better solution. And one of those better solutions, if someone's got an infant in their arms, you're not charging them full price. But anyway, like I say, I'm surprised the family came back. They must have really wanted to see that game.
Yeah. You would think, I'm sure there'd be some kind of like discount for infants.
Well, for an infant, there shouldn't be a discount. If the infant can only be in your arms, there shouldn't be a price. If the infant could take up a seat like a toddler, now that's a different story. I could see that at a discount rate. But for an infant, that infant is not taking up a seat.
Yeah, I was looking at that. I'm gonna get back to you on that and see if I if not I'll ask the next time there.
And you know, I'm all for them making money. I have no problem with that, and I have no problems with the players making a fortune. That's all fine. But when you don't have a tier for the average working guy, you really don't have a great sport.
Yeah, I mean, look who it is. There's even a story there. People are going underwater with auto loans, and people are not putting 20%. You know, I mean, everybody's renting. So,
that's for a whole other venue. But yes, I do not understand. And, you know, brighter minds than me are in charge of these things, and names that I don't even know, and neither do you, you know, the nameless faceless. But the economy as it is cannot sustain long term. It just can't. Because when bottom line was, it was always, you know, buy a house, then sell it when you retire, you know, use that for part of your retirement and all that. People who don't already own a house can't get into the market in most markets. Now, there are some places like Detroit or Cleveland, Cincinnati, where it is relatively cheap to still buy a house. But when you're talking Los Angeles, you're talking $1 million in watts. So, it doesn't compute. Car loans, I think they went insane. I remember so well there was a transit strike well, I guess this was the 80s. I'm not sure of the year. But I remember doing a commercial for a seven-year car loan. And I looked at this, and I don't remember the model, but at the time I knew it well. And I said, that car won't last 7 years. You know, but so all of a sudden they were hell-bent on putting people who otherwise could not afford a car into a car. And yeah, seven-year car loans. And so sure, and you look now when they do the advertisements of nobody even asks, like at the auto shows, and this has now been 15 years or more that I first ran into this at an auto show. No one asked how much the car cost. They only asked what are the payments. And you know, that's a disaster waiting to happen. But like I say, that's for another venue. All right. Well, good deal. Yeah. Interesting.
I was just going to mention one more story because this is in that, I found this in that DW news, it's the German news. The Swiss family living on a sailboat for 26 years, they homeschool their kids. Their age is like 7 to 20 years old.
Okay.
They're pretty interesting story about the. They've been to like 100-plus countries, and they do some schooling when the parents do some work inland, but that's something.
Yeah, that's the Schwarer family. Yeah,
there you go. You found it.
It's interesting that there are a number of seniors who retire to cruise ships because it's actually cheaper than some of the assisted living they were looking at. So, yeah, and we'll talk about that. It's a good topic. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, we'll talk again.
Okay, good. Okay, bye. Okay. And yeah, some places you can't do it, you know, like Marina Del Rey, you're not supposed to live on them and all that. All right, well, before I get to Isaac, and I will, let me instead talk about something near and dear to my heart, the Sea Crane Company, and the CC Pocket Radio. Yeah, this is my purse companion. I love this radio. It's one of the most popular pocket radios on the market for a good reason. And the reason I love it, of course, it's got unbeatable AM, FM reception. I don't think there's anything for its size that equals it. And it is all digital, you know, and I might argue that I prefer old analog, but life ain't like that anymore. It's all digital. And the nice thing about that is you always know where you're on the dial and you get tons of presets. So, okay, five. But you know, that's terrific. But more than that, it's got emergency radio capabilities. It's got the NOAA weather band with the emergency alert. It's got a lighted dial. It's got a clock. It's got a timer, an alarm, and the five presets. And it's very lightweight. It is durable. I am hard on my toys, and I haven't destroyed this yet. Easy to hold, has rubber sides and a pocket clip. It's ready to go anywhere, and it is small. It will fit in your hand, and I'll tell you, you'll always have communication. And I just love it. So go to ccradio.com and look at the CC Pocket Radio. Not expensive either. Now, if you can't go online for some reason, they got the best customer service, and they'd love to hear from you at 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. They'll answer all your questions, and you can order by phone. But if you can go online, oh, sure, for automatic shipping and all that, there's always Amazon and REI. But first, go to ccradio.com, ccradio.com. You look at the CC Pocket Radio, I think you'll be impressed. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
A home for song we barely understood. Now we are not afraid, although we know there's much to fear. We were moving mountains long before we knew we could. Oh, yes, there can be it's hard to kill. Who knows what miracles you can achieve when you believe somehow you will. You will when you in vain. Hope seems like the summer birds, too swiftly flown away. Yet now I'm standing here.
Well, yeah, I know. You're saying, what are you playing, you know, compared to what we usually play? Well, that's because Yura was a first-time caller, and she wanted to hear it. So, hey, I aim to please. So that, of course, from 1999, and that would be Whitney Houston with Mariah Carey. There were a number of duets she did on some of those albums, and that, of course, was on Arista. All right, so I hope she'll call again. Hope she liked it. All right, so 888-876-5593. Now, I see Isaac on the screen, and it said Betty LaVette. And I was going to lead with that, but I couldn't leave you hanging there. But you can bet I'll play some Betty LaVette. Isaac, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Riley. Okay, a couple of things. You know, I used to work security as well. Sometimes they will just require the infant to have a ticket, not necessarily that you have to buy, you know, pay for one. Like the ticket will just a printed ticket that you have to get from the ticket booth. So yeah. Maybe that was the case. I don't know.
I sure hope so. And again, I don't begrudge, you know, teams from making a lot of money. After all, the starting salary for a baseball player, even somebody you've never heard of, is $750,000 a year. So you got, I know, you got to pay for this somehow. And I understand the lucrative nature of corporate boxes, but I still say that all of these stadiums, and there's many of them built these days, usually towns are paying for it, as you well know, tax dollars and all that. But all of these stadiums, especially since they're partly tax dollars supported, should have a section for the average person. You know, it doesn't have to be all of them, but, you know, if dad wants to take his two kids and his wife to the ballpark, he should not need to refinance.
Yes, me and my friends are trying to go, well, were trying to go to a Bears game, but even the nosebleed tickets way up in the sky are in the 200s. So we're like, well, we'll look at the Blackhawks or something like that.
Well, right, and think about that. You know, you got three kids or whatever. You just can't do it.
Yeah.
And so, and I think sports are great, and I think it's wonderful that kids are interested in. Like I say, the small markets are great because they got Triple A teams, Double A teams that are very affordable, and the players are usually wonderful to come over and talk to you and sign and all that kind of stuff. But you know, without that, it's not America's pastime.
I have an older brother. We were trying to get him to. He's in Arizona, and we were trying to get him to come to Chicago.
Uh-huh.
And my grandmother, as you know, used to work for the airline.
Yeah.
So she was using her passes. And we said, well, you don't need, at the time he had almost a newborn. She might have been a couple of months old or something like that.
Yeah.
And we said, you don't need a ticket for her, you know, because you can just hold her in your lap. He refused. He said that absolutely not. He would not. And I'm like, Sean, that's standard practice to, you know, just hold the baby in your. Anyway.
Well, by the way, if it's an infant, of course you're going to be holding the baby. What are you going to do?
He is not the smartest brother.
Yeah, right.
He's older, but not wiser.
Yeah,
you know?
Boy. Well, hopefully the kid had a mom.
Yes, exactly. So, wait, one other thing before we get to Betty. Are you familiar with the scent Shalimar?
Yes, absolutely I am.
That was my grandmother who passed away. That was her little signature scent, and I ran across some of it. And so I sprayed a little on, and after looking it up, I was surprised they said it is a unisex scent.
Huh.
And so I'm out at the insurance office paying my insurance. Now, wow, I could get new clothes, new hairstyle, everything brand new. Nobody will say a word.
Right.
This lady said, "What are you wearing?" And I'm like, "Oh my god!" And she was like, "Is it Shalimar?" I was like, "It is Shalimar." She's like, "My grandmother used to wear that." I'm like, I was so embarrassed. And Riley, as the night progressed, it just turned. Like, I don't know if it was my skin or pH, but, you know, but it just turned on me, and I did not like it after a few hours. I'm like, I'm good, I'm good. But that was my grandmother's signature little
thing. Oh, yeah. No, that's Guerlain. Now, the reason I know it is when you said Shalimar, like, oh, God. I remember it had to be like 1968, a radio station I was working at did a promotion. And so I wound up with bottles of this. Now, I don't have any sense of smell, so I didn't know. But yeah, I do know enough that absolutely fragrances have to do with your own body composition. And I always advise people, wear it for a day when you're not around anybody and see what you think first. Yeah, that's true. Funny. That's funny. My grandmother used to wear it. Yeah, well, see, I didn't know they were marketing it as unisex because it was always for women in my lifetime.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what they said online, that it could be a unisex. And, you know, it's a strong scent. It's very, like, you would recognize it. If you've smelled it before, you would recognize it like she did.
Oh, well, right. And okay. The other thing is that's, you know, that's been in production since, like, 1925.
That's what I was surprised to hear
That's Guerlain. So a lot of people who have older relatives, they might say, oh, that smells familiar. And, you know, the other thing, I guess now it's unisex. That's interesting. But the other thing is it was also country dependent. You know, some places in the world, it was much bigger than others.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow. Okay. Was it big in, like, the Middle East and places like that?
Well, obviously, French and United States, believe it or not, it was very big here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. I remember in high school, we used to have funerals in my high school, and I always knew a funeral was going on because the hallways would smell like white diamonds.
Oh, that's
funny. Because all the older ladies
Funny. Yeah, well, you know, back in the day when they used to advertise products on radio and when teens were king, there were always things like colognes and stuff they've advertised. And I remember one was called Tropical 360 Lime. And I don't remember who made it, but I always thought that'd be a better name for a drink. But yeah. But there were always that and the acne preparations.
One that I cannot take the smell is Cool Water. I've smelled some old men that are, and I cannot stand the smell of Cool Water. I cannot at all. No, please.
And they have Cool Water for women.
Oh, wow. See? Everything's going both ways.
Yeah.
So I was watching a something on YouTube, and they were paying honor to Chaka Khan.
Okay.
And the announcer said one of the best soul singers of our time, Betty LeVette.
Yeah.
And I said, I've never heard of this woman in my life. And, you know, she's kind of an old lady, you know, like I would have thought that I would have heard about her by now.
Well, no, she was her own worst enemy. She's still alive, actually.
Oh, really?
She's like close to 80 now. But she's still alive, absolutely. And she was great. But she was originally from Muskegon, actually, but I think she grew up in Detroit. And it was interesting because she did not begin singing in any church. She was singing country and R&B and all that. And there's a woman in Detroit, Johnny Mae Matthews, and very much an older woman. And she was probably born in like 1920 or something, quite a while.
Okay.
And she was a record producer. She was involved with Ollie McLaughlin and other people. And she had one record called Worried About You that I really loved. I'll try to play that for you later.
By Johnny Mae Matthews?
Yes. And so, but no one knew who she was. But she was producing in the early 60s. And
oh, wow.
She heard Betty LeVette and signed her. And she recorded, which was redone later, but My Man, He's a Loving Man. And, you know, at the time, it was signed to Betty LeVette, and her name was Betty Jo Hoskins, by the way, but they spelled it L-E-V-E-T-T, no E, and all that. And so the deal is that My Man, He's a Loving Man was a great record, and Atlantic heard it, and they distributed it. And it became a hit in 63 and 64. And then she was on tour with a lot of the Atlantic artists, and she wasn't at that point signed to Atlantic. She was later, and she walked out on them, but I'll get to that. The deal is that she wound up getting signed to Calla. Now, Nate Calla was an associate, if you will, of Moish Levy. Nate
always comes back to him.
Yeah, boy. Nate Calla was also unceremoniously murdered. You can read all about it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. It was okay. It was pretty terrible. But, I mean, all murders are terrible, but this is particularly terrible, and you'll see. And so, you know, Let Me Down Easy came out on Calla. That was a good record, but it wasn't a big hit by any means. Not in the top 40, even on the R&B charts. But it got her a gig touring with James Brown. And so she wound up signing to labels no one has ever heard of, and recording some stuff, Do Your Duty, He Made a Woman Enemy. No one's ever heard those either. And then in 72, she was back at Atlantic, and they sent her to Muscle Shoals, and in fact, Child of the 70s was the album. And the bottom line is she did not like the way they were treating her at Atlantic. She felt that they were just ignoring her, that they were pressing it and then never really promoting it, which was, by the way, true, I'm sure.
Okay.
But so she went in there and she said, you know, I quit. And I remember that, what's his name, guy I don't like, Jerry Wexler. Jerry Wexler had said, it's a cold world out there, Betty. You might want to rethink this. Well, unfortunately, he was very right. So she wound up, in the mid-70s, she was with Epic for a moment, and in fact, I think it was still at Epic when they signed her. But anyway, she then got signed by Motown in the 80s, and what was weird is they sent her to Nashville to record, and, you know, some interesting stuff, but no real real hits. She wrote a book, and I read this book. I loved the book, so you can find it. It's got some wonderful dirt in it, and it's probably now like a dollar. I'm going to look at while we're speaking, because if you're interested at all, this is fun. So let me go to Amazon, see if that book is a dollar, but probably not much more. And I loved it because, you know, there were some stories I knew and a lot of stories I didn't know. So that was
I'm surprised to hear that you say she signed to Motown in the 80s.
Yes.
I thought that you were going to say she was, like, you know, with them way earlier than that. By the 80s, weren't they, you know, waning out?
Well,
it was California.
Yeah, it was a very different.
Gordy was
right,
gone.
Right. It was a very different thing. That's for sure. But yeah, it probably was. I'm looking here now. A Woman Like Me. That might have been it. David Ritz wrote it with her, but, and it's like $3 or something right now. So, you know, I mean, you can go ahead and look for it online, but, yeah, she had great stories, as far as that goes. But anyhow, and when I'm at my other studio, I'll pull it. Well, actually it's now in a box, but I'll pull it eventually and give you more information. But yeah, she would occasionally appear in Miami, and she'd stay over there at the at those hotels on Northwest 2nd Avenue that had those great, great clubs, Nightbeat and things like that, places they wouldn't allow me in, you know, but I didn't care. I think you're not coming in here. All right, well, that's a shame.
But, was Let Me Down Easy, was that a song that she wrote? Because I've heard that one redone by a recent artist. I don't know if it's the same one or
not. Well, My Man, He's a Loving Man was redone also. I think Salt and Pepper redid that. Pepper.
Is that What a Man, What a Man, What a Mighty Good Man? Is that
That is a remake of she was a white girl from Ocala. What the hell was her name now? It'll come to me. And it was terrible because she was such a great soul singer and she happened to be white, but it didn't matter. But the Klan ran her out of town. They were just...
What?
Yeah, oh yeah. Because they were saying, you're singing that, you know, music. And,
color music, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And well, it was worse than that. And of course, she was wonderful. And I was telling John about her the other day about her background. But let me look for... now that'll drive me crazy too.
So back to Betty. So she never really, other than those couple songs,
those are
she
the
wasn't
only,
a radio
right,
hit.
Those were
like
the
that.
Only two things that you would even recognize.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so for her, Chaka Khan was crying when she was singing. She was singing with Herbie Hancock.
Yeah.
And like I said, I'm like, who is this lady? There, is she well respected throughout the industry?
Well, obviously. Well, you know, again, some of the label executives say, "Oh yeah, Betty LaVette, hard to work with and all that stuff," because she was not going to take any crap. But yeah, my man, he's love man. Let Me Down Easy. He made a woman out of me. But Let Me Down Easy was my favorite. That was the Cali record. But My Man, He's Love Man was what, you know, kind of started her. That was the Johnny Mae Matthews production. But yeah.
Well, I'd like to hear something from her and the song by Johnny Mae Matthews that you mentioned earlier.
Oh, yeah. Worried About You. Please. Worried About You. Yeah. So, you know, I don't think I'm trying to remember who did write Let Me Down Easy, but it wasn't her. Anyway, right. So she didn't even get the right credits on that, unfortunately. Isn't that always the way? But but yeah, good stuff. Now, why can't I think about this woman? It's going to drive me crazy in Ocala. Who the hell was she? Oh, God. And of course, there are probably people screaming at their radio right now who know exactly.
Yes.
Linda Lindell. That was her name. Linda Lindell.
Linda Lindell.
Oh,
okay.
Man. Yeah, absolutely. Linda Lindell. You got to check her out, too. And, you know, sadly, she just walked away from it all because she got death threats and everything. And it was just so wrong. But she did My Man, He's a Loving Man. And and What a Man. She did both of them.
Oh, she did both of those.
Oh,
wow.
Yes.
Okay,
okay. Oh, yes. I'll play you some Linda Lindell, too. All right,
okay,
good
please
deal.
Do, Riley. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. All right, so we got some bumpers lined up. We're going to do all of them coming up on WGN Radio.
Just a little too often, and if I speak of you each time I'm talking, it's 'cause I'm
worried about you.
Oh, I'm worried, baby.
Worried about you.
Don't you know I'm worried?
Worried about you.
Johnny Mae Matthews in 1964. She had been in her 40s by then. It was on Spokane, not Spokane like the city. Spokane, which was a label she owned. It was a subsidiary of Northern that she also owned. And she recorded a number of things on Northern as well. But I thought the flip side of Worried About You was equally good. And as I say, no one outside of Detroit knew this woman. But I'll tell you, everybody who was doing anything with soul music as a performer knew her. But yeah, the flip side was itty bitty hard.
This little bitty heart of mine can't stand you running around. Thought I had found a lover.
thought she was really something, and obviously she was long a tooth by the time she was recording that stuff, but just excellent soul music, and responsible, like I say, for a lot of people. Interestingly, get back to Betty LeVette here. She was the original as far as My Man, He's a Lovin' Man, and Johnny Mae Matthews wrote it. Indeed. And September of 62, here comes Betty LeVette. And let me find out here. I've got Let Me Down Easy, but I sure got My Man, He's a Lovin' Man. And they'll play the Linda Lindell, which is later. But and she never gets credit for it. He's lovin'. Come on, you can do this. All right. I think I can do it. It would help if I can spell. I thought that I had actually... actually put that out there already, but I didn't. Now, by the way, you can call and interrupt the show. We don't have to talk about this. We can talk about whatever's on your mind. But left to my own devices, I kind of like this. So that's where we are right now. But yeah, My Man, He's a Lovin' Man. And here was the original, the Betty LeVette version. So about 5 years after that, Linda Lindell, actually, I said she was from Ocala. She was really from Gainesville. But, yeah, did a cover of it. And I thought it sounded great. Never did absolutely anything. Of course, it did absolutely nothing, so nobody really noticed. But then she recorded What a Man, which Dave Crawford had written. And he was on the air as a jock in Atlanta at the time, and he had a connection to Isaac Hayes. And so they wound up having that on Volt. And so that came out in 68. That's the one where the Ku Klux Klan tried to run her out of town. And, well, just threatened her life. It was enough. But her version of What a Man, yeah, you might think of Salt and Pepper, but yeah, they sampled her. Some airplay, and that's about the time literally the Ku Klux Klan threatened her life. And at that point, she said, that's it. I'm no longer a performer. She retired, and she lived in Gainesville quietly for like a few decades after, like 30 years or so. And then, of course, in 93, Salt and Peppa sampled it, and they're What a Man, spelled W-H-A-T-T-A, unlike the original. But and of course, What a Man was a massive hit. And so that actually sparked Linda to record again and perform again. And what was really interesting was that in 2003, when the Stax Museum opened, you know, and had a big gala and all that, she was there and she performed What a Man. And that was the first time she ever performed it live, because she left singing after the Klan threats and never got a chance to perform that on a stage. So finally, 2003, yeah, what, over 30 years later, about 35 years later, there she was singing it. All right, and for to understand, she's still singing. I don't know. But she did some touring after that and all that. When she was, I don't know, a teen, like 19 or 20, maybe she was touring with James Brown before any of the hits. But yeah, it was Dave Crawford, who was on the air in Atlanta, who hooked her up. So 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh, one more we'll finish, because I said we'll get that other Betty LaVette record that I thought was great, should have been bigger, but of course it was on Calla, so maybe that. So were a lot of good records, actually, some of which you've heard and many of which you never will. Great, but like I say, she says yeah. Betty LaVette, unfortunately, and that, like I say, I'll get to it. Johnny May Matthews did not write that, by the way, at all. That was the earlier one on Betty LaVette. But I thought Let Me Down Easy was a woulda, coulda, shoulda. And that book, I'll have to get, was just fascinating. Like I say, a lot of juicy stories. Yes, Stevie Wonder's virginity's in there, and more. So sure, a lot of fun stuff. Now we'll get to NATO in Japan. There's room for you too. 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh on WGN Radio. Something completely different, right? Paradise Tonight, that was what Billy Bob and Bourbonnais wanted to hear in 1983, an epic. Yeah, it was a lot better than the pairings he was stuck with 10 years earlier. Oh, man. When he was on Playboy Records, they demanded that Mickey Gilley do duets with Barbie Benton, who was living with Hugh Hefner at the time. She's a Chicago girl, too. And, oh, man, did he hate her. And I don't think it was anything personal. I just thought he thought she couldn't sing. And clearly, you know, she's a good-looking gal, but that doesn't necessarily come through on vinyl. I didn't think the records were as bad as he did, but it was just fun to watch him fume. Yeah, and he did. All right, so 888-876-5593. Naoto in Japan has a request. What do you want to hear?
Yeah, I want to hear Downtown by Mrs. Mira.
Oh, no. Okay. All right. For you, I will do this. It'll come up after the news.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about poor Mrs. Miller again because people didn't realize this woman was serious as a heart attack. Yeah, it's so sad. And yes, not only Downtown, she slaughtered many other songs as well. Now, we'll get to Laura from Willowbrook next hour, but I think, I have a feeling that we're going to go to another commercial respite here in a couple minutes, and I don't want to completely blow the break. Yeah, so I should think of something jovial to talk with you about. I don't know what that would be, actually, but we could probably go back to sleep again. Well, in more ways than one, now that I think about it. And the person who gives me all these wonderful links is Bob, Engineer Bob, who is just terrific. And keep talking. What? I don't know.
To the top.
Oh, to the top? No, really? Are you sure?
You just told me.
Oh, I see. I go to the top. Well, you're the top. All right. All right. Well, let's then, without further ado, talk to Laura in Willowbrook. All right, Laura, what's up?
Okay. Well, I was just curious. I know these are not your fields that you enjoy, but I just wondered. The Cubs had a guy named Eddie Vedder sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game, and I've heard of him. He's Pearl Jam. But also, I told John there's a guy that's going to be singing at their Super Bowl. Where do they find these people? I never heard of the guy that's singing at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that Eddie Vedder, right. Eddie Vedder was from Pearl Jam. So Pearl Jam was a big group, so, you know, as far as that goes. So that's why on the seventh inning stretch he's doing that. But who is on the I have no idea. This year's Super Bowl, have they announced who's on it?
Yeah.
Really? All right, halftime.
Yeah,
who? Let me see who this is. Let's see who. Bad Bunny. All right. Well, you know Bad Bunny.
Who the heck is that? I never heard of him.
Oh. Well, you see, I wouldn't either. But John has all of his stuff. In fact, I think he sent stuff to Soroya. So yes, Bad Bunny is expected to highlight Latin identity culture. All right. He's Puerto Rican. That's neither here nor there. But who else is in this? All right, because it can't just be all Bad Bunny all the time.
I know, right?
Yeah. It says that they're saying that. I don't see who they're saying about anybody else. I guess maybe it'll be...
I can't imagine he'd be solo.
He may be. I don't know. He's going to headline it. All right, so headline it. But who else? All right, let's see. Who besides Bad Bunny? All right, let's see. They should. There are no other announced guests yet.
And I've been hearing that a lot of people are going to boycott the halftime show because they don't want Bad Bunny. Like, okay.
Why?
I don't know.
Well, that's really terrible. Benito Ocasio is who it is. He's Puerto Rican.
Kind of
right now, very, very, very big with Spanish rap as far as
that
goes.
Good.
And so, he grew up in Puerto Rico and I think still lives there in a different city, but still lives there.
Okay.
And so, yeah, but like he's got upcoming concerts in the Dominican Republic and in Costa Rica. All that makes sense. But,
And I know you only have 30 seconds or whatever, but how do they pick them anyway?
Oh, that couldn't be answered in 30 seconds.
Okay, well, no problem.
All right, I'll try to do that later. All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Raleigh. Have a good night.
You too. And by the way, Benito does not come from a musical family. I think his dad was a truck driver and his mother, I don't know, was a school teacher or something like that. But he'd been listening since, he was a very young child and all sorts of things. So started to write his own stuff and all that. Anyway, so Bad Bunny it is. Well, I don't know why not. We'll get to David in Muskegon, and so we'll also get to Mrs. Miller coming up next hour right here on WGN Radio.
When you're alone and life's making you lonely, you can always go downtown. You've got worries and all the noise and the hurry seem to help, I know. Listen to the music of the traffic in the city. Linger on the sidewalk where the neon signs are pretty. How can you lose? The lights are much brighter there. You can forget all your troubles, forget all your cares. Go downtown. Things will be great when you're downtown. No finer place for sure. Downtown. Everything's waiting for you. Around and let your problems surround you. There are movie shows downtown. Maybe you know some little places to go where they never close.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, there's Nyota's choice. And as I say, we'll get to downtown in a moment. And we'll get to Elva, Mrs. Miller, don't you know? But there's a flip side to that record. And if you thought downtown, by the way, it charted. It got to like number 82. If you thought downtown was bad, the flip side was worse. And not only was it worse, it charted too. And I think it made it to number 95.
Gentle is the rain that falls softly on the meadow. Birds high up in the trees, selling flowers with the melting. Oh, see, there beyond the hill, the bright colors of the rainbow. Some magic from above made this day for us just to fall in love. I belong to you.
Yeah, she was deadly serious. And I loved, in the book A List too, that David Wallachinsky book, they said that her voice was comparable to the sound of roaches scurrying across a trash lid. I don't know what they have against roaches. All right, so let's talk about Elva, although she wouldn't let anybody call her Elva. She's Mrs. Miller. Elva Ruby Conniss was born in Joplin, Missouri. So we're talking Ozarks, all right, in 1907. And she winds up marrying a very wealthy investor. Guy was 30 years older than her. And they get married like in 1934 at the height of the Depression. They move to Claremont, California. And he's wealthy beyond all belief. So she's, at the Claremont colleges and studying voice and composition at Pomona College and involving herself in community projects as a wealthy woman would do. And she really got into the act big time. She was nothing if not the societal maiden. And she did a number of records, actually. It was mostly like classical and children's songs and gospel, and she self-financed them, distributed it to local orphanages, things like that. Well, somebody heard one of these recordings and said, I think it was some arranger, said, you got to do something more modern. So she does, and he takes it to various record labels. And this is like 1960, and Gary Owens gets a hold of one. And at that time, he was on KFWB. He was a top 40 disc jockey in Los Angeles. And so he starts playing one of these. And, of course, it's long before there is a downtown or anything else. But, I mean, whatever it was just horrendous. But he managed to incorporate it into some of his comedy routines. Wouldn't be hard. So with that, in 1965, she signed to Capitol, and they give her Lex de Azevedo. All right, now Lex de Azevedo was a guy, he was actually Mormon from Utah. I say that only because he was very big with Bonneville, which is wholly owned by the Mormon Church. And in fact, years later, when Bonneville's easy listening format wanted to make it more youthful, he's the one who would like do the Steppenwolf with strings stuff. But anyway, that was good old Lex. But so Lex is her producer, and here she is, all of a sudden having hits, well, quasi hits anyway. And initially, she had no idea that this was a joke, none whatsoever. But she was frustrated because she said she was deliberately conducted half a beat ahead or behind time, and the songs they chose were the worst takes from each of her recordings. And she just couldn't understand it. Well, of course, you know, it was obviously comedy. And so they put out an album, and I love the title of this, Mrs. Miller's Greatest Hits, in 1966. And she does pop standards. She skewers them. And it sells like 250,000 copies in a few weeks. And in fact, Gary Owens wrote the liner notes, "Will Success Spoil Mrs. Miller?" And there was another album after that, a country album or something. And, you know, she became, unbeknownst to her, quite the thing for a while there. She sang for servicemen in Vietnam. She performed at the Hollywood Bowl. She was in some movies. Yeah, she was in The Cool One and sung It's Magic. Oh, my dear God. And about 68, they dropped her from Capitol because, you know, the bit could only go on so long. But she recorded more stuff on Dunhill and all that, and no one ever heard her stuff. And so by the 70s, she disappeared. And ultimately, you know, her husband, who was 30 years older than her, died. And she was living at a condo in Northridge when the earthquake hit. And then she moved to Vista. She was in a retirement home, which is, you know, north of San Diego there. And she was there. In fact, when I was on the air in San Diego, she was there. She died in 97, I think. So that's the story of Mrs. Miller. And interestingly enough, we have here Naoto calling back about Laura in this case. All right, Naoto.
Yeah. I wasn't listening to the show when Laura was talking about my interest in Myers-Briggs.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was listening to the replay and I realized she was talking about me. So I want to say thank you for, like, you know, positive comment on me. And, you know, I really like what I'm talking about. So, yeah, thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for calling back. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right. Good deal.
Bye.
So there you have it. And yeah, full board of calls. But, you know, on these nights when there's nothing else to talk about, we'll go on some of the ways they pick these featured performers, shall we speak. All right. So with that in mind, who's been hanging on a while? I believe David in Muskegon. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah. Hi, Riley. Hey, sorry about the other night. I was I had to hang up because I'd taken some medicine, and I went to sleep.
Good for you. Sleep is sacred. Always do it when you can.
Oh, yeah. I slept so sound.
Excellent.
I was trying to find a song, and I can't find it anywhere, and I wish you'd play it. Desiderata by
Les
David
Crane.
Susskind.
Oh, not Les Crane?
Yeah,
well,
Les Crane.
Les Crane had the hit.
Oh, did he?
Yes, this was a hit when he was on the air in San Francisco. Yeah, so not David Susskind, but Les Crane.
Oh, that's why I got the title of the artist wrong.
Right, Les Crane and Desiderata. Go placidly amidst. Let's hear a little of it. You're not going to hear too much of it because, you know, there's only so much anybody can stand, but here is good old Les being as announcerish as he can be somewhere.
You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have arrived.
Placidly amid the noise and haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. As far as possible without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others, even the dull and ignorant. They too have their story. Avoid loud and aggressive persons. They are vexations to the spirit. If you compare yourself with others, you may become vain and bitter, for always there will be greater and lesser persons than yourself.
You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right.
Yeah, so that's the abysmal desiderata. And John just came in and said, wasn't Les Crane, wasn't one of Blavatt's friends? Yes, absolutely. And he had worked in Philadelphia, too. And, of course, in Los Angeles on KRLA and a lot more. So there you have it.
Hey, thank you, Raleigh.
Okay. And you can find
it. And you know, that song right there's so much truth in it if you listen to the lyrics.
Well, it's I always laugh at it because of, here was the deal. It was written in the early 20s by Max Ehrman, a guy in Terre Haute. And, in fact, he didn't even assign a title when he got the copyright. But there was a psychiatrist who distributed thousands of copies to patients and soldiers during World War II. And he died, by the way, Ehrman, the guy who wrote it. But what had happened was, a reverend at a church in Baltimore distributed about 200 copies, and he didn't attribute them to Ehrman or anything else, for his congregation at Old St. Paul's in Baltimore. And so this is like 1959 or 1960. It was undated, but the papers mentioned that the church was founded in 1692, so people assumed that this desiderata was written in 1692 rather than, in fact, in 1921 or whatever. And so it got distributed widely in the 60s and 70s saying it was 1692. And so a company in San Francisco got it, and it wound up being distributed, and Les Crane was there at the time, and he recorded it in 1971.
Oh, he did a very good job on that.
Yeah.
I mean, and the lyrics are just so poignant.
All right.
And that's what really strikes me about that. And there was a question I wanted to ask you, too. It was about the Chattanooga Electric Company, Marsha Blackburn. Now, what position was she in when she would not allow
EPB? Yeah, she was an elected official, and I don't remember if she was a U.S. rep, and she might have been, or a state rep. But what it was that EPB, finest broadband in America, period. That's why Chattanooga became the gig city, and EPB wanted to extend its footprint beyond where they provided electric power. And so here comes Comcast and AT&T and Verizon, Fios, and all that, and they're filing lawsuits saying, well, EPB is publicly funded, so therefore that's unfair competition. And Blackburn sided with all these companies, and basically the result was EPB could not extend their footprint where they did not provide power. And the horror of this is that some of the places they wanted to go, even though were franchises, like Charter had a franchise in Nickajack in Pittsburgh, Tennessee. And there was no broadband there because no one was providing it. Yet these people were up and down that EPB shouldn't have the right. And it was a terrible, terrible thing, I think, because as far as I'm concerned, everybody should have quality broadband in America. And if you get somebody...
You know what? I agree.
If you get somebody who will... And they were giving you a gig symmetrical for under $100 back then. That's why we moved there. You know, I said to John, we're moving to Chattanooga. He was like, what? I said, yep, we're doing it. And we did. And it was the best year and a half of my life. That broadband was just divine. And,
It was what they call the bomb.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, their power was just as good. We had a truck hit a pole in front of our house, and all we had was a 20-second brownout. That's how quickly it switched on the grid to somewhere out. We never lost power. We were looking at the downed line. It didn't matter.
You know what that tells me, and everybody should start wondering, who is Marsha Blackburn taking money from?
No, it isn't that. You know, here it is, and I don't want to get into this because it becomes a political discussion. So let me just go ahead and say it succinctly, all right, and then we'll move on. both sides of the aisle have their sacred cows in the way they think. And so where she was coming from, because she is a Republican as far as that goes, she didn't want the public to have an advantage over the private sector. And that's one of those things where both parties have their dyed-in-the-wool viewpoints. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I'm an equal opportunity basher. I hate them both for different reasons. But anyhow, that's what it really was. I think she was motivated more by the philosophical idea that public shouldn't compete with private. Just that simple. Just that simple. I don't think they were paying her anything. Although, you know, here comes her big election. I think she's in the Senate now or something. I'm sure they gave to her coffers, of course. But that works.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
But that
she
works.
Was taking money.
No. That works with all of them. That works with every last one of them. So,
you know, you got a point there with your congressmen.
I'm going to stop you there. We want to move on to and get off that because we just don't do politics on this show.
Okay.
But anyway.
Okay. I understand.
Okay.
But I want to thank you for playing that Desiderata by David Susskind because
David Susskind, Les Crane.
Les Crane, because with that, I'm going to see if I can find.
Yeah, Les Crane.
That on my oldies playlist.
Okay.
I just love that song.
Well, somebody had to. All right, yes, Les Crane, and he was just really terrific. And, you know, I kind of laugh when I hear that because Les could be acerbically funny. And so, you know, I hear that and I'm thinking, oh, Les, what are you doing now? All right, so, yeah, okay. Talk to you later.
Yes, and, you know, I found a radio station, too, because I'm not really satisfied with your classic rock station, so I've been making my own classic rock music.
Yes, yes,
and,
absolutely.
I did find one out of, let me think of the name of it. It's out of Utah, out of Logan, Utah.
Oh, you're talking, is it the 1660?
Nope.
What is
it? It's 95.9,
okay. KLZX. Yeah, all right.
I've been listening to that, and I've been fairly satisfied with it, with listening to it. It's automated up until it seems like 10 o'clock their time in the morning.
Yeah.
Then they'll have a live jock on the air.
Yeah. No, I'm more of it. Years ago, you mentioned Logan, that when they got one of the early EB stations, you know, the extended band on AM, and at 1660, they had this terrific oldies station, and, you know, my kind of oldies. And what was interesting about it, they called themselves KFJZ. There weren't even the call letters, but they had the jingles. And I always used to laugh at that. And the deal was, though, I remember in the daytime looking at Old Faithful. I'm standing there on the grounds at the park in Wyoming, and I'm hearing 1660. And, in fact, they played a Charlie Gracie record, so I called him up and said, hey, you're on the air in Logan. But anyway, so if you like that, that's terrific. Now, when you look up Les Crane, and I think you will, you'll find out that he had a TV show, too, a couple of them, and he was the first guy to ever put the Rolling Stones on TV in America.
Oh, wow.
So Les Crane, C-R-A-N-E.
Yes, okay. Les Crane. See, I'm totally blind.
I know.
I can't see nothing.
Yeah, well, you can certainly hear everything, and that's all that matters here.
Oh, yeah, because, right. See, what I do is I surf the web on my Alexa.
Okay.
And I'm on it 24/7. And how I got introduced to it was a friend of mine. She introduced me to it. And then once I got introduced to that, she always knew where I was.
Right.
She said she didn't have to worry about me because I was I was in the house.
Yep.
And I was on the Alexa, which I am most of the time.
All
only
right.
Time,
well, I gotta go because it's time for the news.
Okay.
Talk to
Riley.
You later. Okay. Bye. All right. So we'll pick it up right after the news, right here on WGN Radio.
Understand. Now you find that you've been misused. Talk
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and Lisa in Dundee wanted to hear Clarence Carter. Said, I like his voice, and you can pick whatever you want. That's always a dangerous thing to say to me. It's the flip side, and he wrote it. Tell Daddy. And you're saying, ain't that Tell Mama, Etta James? Yep, she covered it, but Clarence Carter wrote it, and that was at Fame, Florence, Alabama Music Enterprises, don't you know, where it was recorded in 1966. It was the flip of I Stayed Away Too Long. So hopefully Lisa in Dundee heard it and liked it. So what are we doing here? I believe Carol is in Chicago going to give her some Bad Bunny info. How's it going, Carol?
Hey there. It's going pretty good. I'm just, of course, listening to you guys. And I just felt kind of the same way on Sunday when they made the announcement. I was watching the football game, and then suddenly it was popping up, and I was like, ooh, what?
Yeah.
I like to stay on top. I was a hairdresser for many years, and I always tried to stay on top. I always listened. I always had the more modern music, top 40 stuff in the salon, and I always tried to, you know, be on top of things so that I could be along with my young people that were coming in and having me do their hairdos and everything. So anyway, I was very surprised to see everything about it, but I'm not into that type of music, but that's fine. He dated Kendall Jenner for a while.
Yeah.
He was in WWE wrestling for quite a while, made a little bit of a name for himself. And he's been in many movies already. He was in Bullet Train in 22, and Cassandra in 23, and Happy Gilmore this year, Happy Gilmore 2. And plus, his music, he has sold millions and millions of records.
Oh,
Like I told John, I said, you know, we can only have so much of The Who and The Rolling Stones. And, you know, our generation, you know, we're not all there anymore. And the younger people are coming in, and they're the ones spending the money in the stadiums. And they're the ones doing all of this now. And you want to have music that excites them. You know, they don't want to listen to mom and grandma's music.
Right. That's absolutely true. And he is... John just handed me one of the albums. All right. So, we have quite a bit of Bad Bunny in this house. Yo Le Llego. Okay. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, right, I'm looking forward to it. I love the halftime show. I don't care who's performing. I'm always amazed by the technology.
Yeah.
I'm amazed at how fast they put that up, the performance, and then zippity-doo-dah, that whole electronic miracle that's in the middle of this football field comes down, and boom, the game takes off again. To me, the whole thing is amazing.
Yeah.
So I'm going to sit back and enjoy it.
Sure, absolutely. And, you know, for many people, he might be an acquired taste, but the reality is he consistently sells stadiums out across the country in his U.S. tours.
Absolutely.
So, that's the deal. So, obviously...
Well, I also read that this is his biggie here in the United States because he will not perform in the United States because of the problems.
Oh, okay.
Spanish and this and that. And I thought, oh, dear, well, at least he's doing this then for everybody, and it'll be on national TV.
Right.
You know,
absolutely. I hate it when they get political, but they do, and I understand.
So sad when I heard that. I thought, oh, come on, but what are you going to do?
Nothing.
And then also, of course, you know, Eddie Vedder is kind of a Chicago guy. He was raised in Evanston.
You're right.
And, you know, he always played at the Metro right across the street from Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
That's how he got his start with Pearl Jam.
Yep, he was one of three guitarists for Pearl Jam. Yep, absolutely.
So, yeah, he's a big guy, and, you know, sing the seventh inning. That's wonderful.
Well, yeah, you think about it when you mention, like, the Rolling Stones or something like this. When they first came out in America in 1964, no one thought they would ever be buying a ticket to see them when they were 80.
No.
So, you know, it's been a long time.
I'm not
time.
80 yet.
Yeah. No, I mean the band.
In their 80s.
The band
I know.
I know.
I'm about 15 years younger than they are. And, you know, I've spent my money a couple times at Soldier Field to sit down and listen to them and had a marvelous time. And again, Lenny Kravitz opened for them. They always had somebody big of the younger generation opening for them to get across section of people coming, because that kept them fresh by having you know, somebody young and with it at that moment opening for them. And Lenny Kravitz was fantastic.
Oh, sure. And, of course, Eddie Vedder's not young. He's 60.
That's right.
So
no, well, none of us
not,
are, yeah.
Yeah, right. Not a young man. But, of course, when they start to look more toward youth, it makes all the sense in the world to me because that's the record-buying public, the music-buying public. It always has been and probably always will be.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's all the streaming and all this stuff. My son is a musician, and I'm like, you know, he sells merch at his things and everything else, but it's all streaming. It's all out there that way. And I just kind of like raise an eyebrow. I go, okay, honey, I'm glad that it's going well for you.
Well, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, I'll tell you, people ask me today, well, if streaming is 70% of the record sales, how does that work? And my answer is beats the hell out of me. I don't even want to know.
I don't get it, but that's
yeah,
what
right.
It is.
I don't even want to know. You know, it was bad enough when it was downloads, but we're past downloads now. So it's like, okay.
It's completely exhausting. I just go with the flow and that's fine.
All right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. So, yes, there you have, I don't know. I absolutely do not know how it works in terms of that. And, you know, the worst part is, and I guess this is when you know you're old. I don't care. You know, it used to be, oh, I'd want to find out and I'd want to get entrenched and all that kind of stuff. You know, like with online things when I was streaming in the 90s or when I was making apps decades ago. Now it's like, oh, who cares? Life is too short. Right, so, that probably doesn't say anything good. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, and Stan is in Dearborn. All right, Stan, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh.
How's it going?
I couldn't call you last night for trivia because I had to get up early today.
Ah, but, well, that's all right. You missed the five crowns.
Yeah. Yes, I saw it on your website. But I was going to tell you, my favorite Betty LeVette on Calla was I'm Just a Fool for You.
Oh, yeah, it's a fine song.
Yeah, that's a good song.
Yeah.
And as far as Johnny May Matthews, and I'm sure you know it, but maybe your audience would know that she co-wrote the Going Back to Georgia, Timmy Shaw.
Yeah.
And she wrote a lot, and her Northern label had the Distance on there, and the Distance,
right,
part of the Distance became the Temptations.
Oh, absolutely.
And she had quite a few records out on her own label. Ooh Wee is one that reminds me of it. And I've got one here on the Aubrey label.
Uh-huh.
Aubrey Records, Detroit, Michigan.
Yeah.
Love Hides All Faults. And that's co-written by her and Ivy Joe Hunter.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Not Ivory.
No,
Ivy.
Absolutely. Ivy, absolutely.
Yeah.
Different person, you betcha. Yeah, well, I thought she was so underrated. And,
exactly.
You know, a lot of the stuff she did, like I say, she was firmly middle-aged at the time, and yet she was just with it.
Yeah, she was always like, I remember the Flame Show Bar downtown.
Oh, of course.
Detroit. That was probably the place they wouldn't let you in, because that was kind of a...
No, it was actually there was a section of Miami, Northwest 2nd Avenue, and it's there.
Wow.
They had the two hotels there, because back then it was so typical of the South where these great entertainers were not allowed to stay in the hotels on Miami Beach because they were people of color, literally. And so there were two hotels in Northwest 2nd Avenue, and one of them had a bar in the, I guess it was a lounge in the basement, if you will, and it was called the Night Beat. And it was just the best, you know, and that's where Sam and Dave started out and all this stuff. But they did not want a little white girl. It just wasn't going to happen. So I didn't have to go.
The music back, our music was so sectional or regional, you know, that a lot of people, you know, countrywide didn't hear a lot of it until it became oldies.
No, of course.
Know, but, in fact, Teresa Lindsay is another Detroit soul singer that very few people know. She's on Correct Tone.
Right.
And Pat Lewis and quite a few.
Yeah, Teresa Lindsay play a lot. Now, of course, she had a big hit in Philadelphia, as you probably know. Gotta Find a Way.
That's the one, yeah.
Yeah, and that's a great record.
It is, yeah. And the other one I'm thinking of is It's Love.
Right, right.
And that was written by Van McCoy.
Yes, and don't forget Wonderful One.
Wonderful One, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you betcha.
Speaking of how regional and sectional, I was going to ask you about a California, an L.A. person that I've got some records by, and not too much information.
Who is it?
The guy's name is Billy Storm.
Oh, of course.
Billy Davis, I think, is his real name.
Billy Storm. I'm of age. The flip side of that I always liked. He was terrific and been dead a long time, mid-80s, I think he died. And, I loved Billy Storm.
Yeah, now, he was a lead singer for the Valiants.
Yeah.
And then the Valiants became the Untouchables. But my question was he the lead singer of the Alley Cats I put in the team?
No, I don't think so. I think my favorite Billy Storm is This Is Always, and I think I'll play it for you.
Okay. One that I like particularly is The Way to Your Heart.
Okay.
On, I think it's Barnaby Coast.
Right.
And that's record is impossible to find anywhere. And that's another, luckily, I found that on a CD. And but anyway, I'm looking at a Aladdin record. It's called Dangling with My Heart by the Squires.
Okay.
And I the lead singer on that sounds exactly like Billy Storm.
Interesting.
And I was just wondering if that's true, because I see the co-writer on that is Chester Pipkins, who was a member of Valiants and the Untouchables and the Alley Cats.
Now, the Alley Cats were an outgrowth of, I think, the Untouchables, you know, that were on Madison, Raisin Sugar Cane, and Poor Boy as a Preacher. And they joined a couple other guys who had been in the Robins, and also Bobby Sheen, who is another one who's very underrated. And they formed the Alley Cats. And it was Lou Adler who put the Alley Cats together. And that's who brought it to, Phyllis. And that was the deal there. So Pudentane, which was a big Jerry Blabbitt record, came out in early 63 on Phyllis with no follow-up. But I think some of them wound up being in Africa, the group Africa later that was on Ode. But it was Bryce Cofield, I think was the guy's name, and they were on the Untouchables. I loved Raisin Sugar Cane. I thought that was a great record. And that's what it was. And you know, like I say, Bobby Shane, very underrated. That's the deal with him.
The Bobby of Bobby Sox.
Yes, that's him. But he did a number of things under his own name as well. And also, he was in a ton of groups, you know, here and there and the other thing. But, on his own name, How Many Nights and How Can We Ever Be Together? I liked both of those. Dr. Love, which is a wonderful song by him. And, I just thought the world of Bobby Sheen. He never got his just due. He's been dead about 25 years.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
And Billy Storm, I never hear anything about him.
Right, you don't. And, you don't. And I think I'm the only person who ever plays This Is Always.
Yeah, okay.
So I'll play it for you.
Okay, great.
Okay, thanks.
Well, thanks for taking my call. And,
always.
Have a nice time off.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. All right,
okay,
so we'll play This Is Always. Hopefully I've got it on this computer. We'll find out coming up on WGN Radio.
This isn't sometimes, this is always. This isn't maybe, this is always. This is love, the real beginning of. Isn't just midsummer madness, a passing glow, a moment's gladness. Yes, it's love. I knew it on the night we met. You tied a string around my heart, so I
his hallway.
Yeah, Billy Storm. You know, one of the problems might have been he recorded under several names. I was in a number of groups, too, that we were talking about. But he was Billy Fortune and Bill Spicer. It was actually his real name. Billy Jones. So that was it was John Carson on some stuff. He was Raven Kelly. So that's one of the problems. But, yeah, he was in the Chevelles. He was in the Valiants and the Sabres and all that. And, of course, the Valiants was a group that was formed at Jordan High. And that was Billy Storm and Sheridan Spencer and Bryce Cofield that we were talking about before, and Chester Pipkin. And so, they'd been the Sabres and all of that, and the Chevelles, and then they, for the third time, they were the Valiants. So that was the deal. And, yeah, South Central L.A. All right, so I'm glad Storm brought him up. Yeah, I know. This is always might be an acquired taste, but it came out in 1959, and I liked it. All right, so Ralph is in Rockford. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yes, hello. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Always.
Yes, and I have two things here that I wanted to bring to your attention. First would be your newscaster, the David Jennings. He has a wonderful voice.
Yes.
And a great newscaster. Yeah, he's. I listen every day to Chicago stations, you know, and so, but he's absolutely the best and a great personality. I wish you could tell him that.
Oh, well, hopefully he heard it.
Yeah, and I hope so. And there's hot weather coming up for the weekend.
Nice.
And, that might make the news because all-time records might be tied or even exceeded.
Wow.
And I have a wonderful recipe against hot weather that I like to share with you.
Okay.
Ice is most useful. Yeah, ice is most useful, best tasting, and refreshing when it is melted and thus gone.
Oh, that's okay, great. So, all right. Yeah. No, you're right. It's going to be going to be in the upper 80s the weekend. Yeah.
Upper 80s, possibly 90, and
wow.
That would tie a record on Saturday.
Yeah.
And now we have to only a couple of minutes here. I have to hurry up a little bit, and you had those wonderful black ladies on tonight, Betty Lavette,
yes,
and so on.
Yes.
And I would have another Betty for you.
Betty Everett.
Oh, yeah, I know you were going to guess that one. I knew that.
Yep, so I love Betty Everett. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, I do too. It's unfortunately, it is not in my kiss, but it is in his kiss.
Yeah, and so many other things too. She's wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, she's known for the Shoop Shoop song, but she did a lot more.
She did a lot more. And did you know that she came to Beloit and passed away in Beloit?
Yes, I do know that, actually, because I think she was living in Beloit when I lived in Rockford. Yeah, I think she was living with a sister. And I Can't Hear You No More and Getting Mighty Crowded. There's so many, There'll Come a Time. There's so many great Betty Everett records.
Oh, yeah, very, very great. And I only have one more question for you that you might want to answer, and that is I always keep a good rapport here with my black friends, and somebody said that possibly Dennis Edwards, who replaced David Ruffin in The Temptations, had maybe some family connections to Beloit. I don't know anything, but maybe you can find it out if there is some truth to that.
Huh? That's interesting. That they weren't originally from Detroit. He was a kid when they moved to Detroit. He was from Alabama originally. So,
yeah.
You know,
Yeah, Dennis.
But wait, let's see. I just looked up online while we're talking, and it says individuals named Denmas Edwards may have connections to Beloit, Wisconsin, but they are not the famous singer from the Temptations.
Oh.
Now, I don't know if that's true either, because, you know, if you read it on the internet, it doesn't mean anything. Yeah. But yes, you've ended the show. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you. All right. And apologies to Herb. Don't go away, Herb. I'm going to take your request off the air so I can play it tomorrow. And we'll talk to James on the South Side. I'll do that for you too, James. Other than that, we thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. Now, 21 hours from now, I'll ask you to do it again. The reason there are people still hanging at this hour is because you didn't call in the first hour. Where were you? Call tomorrow night, right here. Until then, I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio. Okay, good deal. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right, now, let's see. Is Herb still with us? Let me find out here. All right, Herb, are you still there?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I wanted to say that I really enjoy your show.
Oh,
and it's always great to listen at you. And once I listen at your show, then I turn the radio off.
Oh, man.
But
so, Herb, I'm going to play your record tomorrow night. What do you want to hear?
Yeah. Groovy People by Lou Rawls.
Absolutely. You got it.
Yeah. Okay, right. You have a blessed and wonderful vacation.
All right, thanks, Herb. Thanks for calling.
All right. Good night.
All right. So, yes, Groovy People, you betcha we'll play that. All right. And I know that Stacy loves Lou Rawls as well. All right. So, James on the South Side, what is it you are requesting?
Okay. I'm going to request, actually two requests. I'm going to go with Lady Love by Lou Rawls.
Okay. Lou Rawls Twin Spin. Okay.
And the other one is, Always by Patsy Cline. I think I got that one.
Okay. All right. We'll do it.
Okay. You have a great vacation.
Yeah,
okay?
Well, I'll probably talk to you before that. We got another two nights that are live. All right. Thanks. We'll play your song. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. So on that, we'll stop the stream since we already stopped the show, and we'll hopefully catch it tomorrow night, 21 hours from now.